Blog Talk Radio.
RattleAndHumSports.com presents the Rattle and Hum Sports Podcast.
Off the screen, gets the pass, shot clock at 7. Nowitzki against Hercules, backs in, falling away, puts it up, banks it in! Oh, what a tough shot from Nowitzki! And the Mavericks take a 2-point lead with 5.9 remaining.
RattleAndHumSports.com, the number one site for sports, entertainment, and anything that we find interesting. And now, your host of the Rattle and Hum Sports Podcast, Brian Houston.
Happy Monday, the very first Monday of 2015, and it is definitely a new year because the Dallas Cowboys have moved on into the NFC Divisional Playoffs. They have won a playoff game. They beat the Detroit Lions in a thriller yesterday at what the ticket likes to call the Death Star over in Arlington, winning 24-20. I'm Brian Houston. Glad to have you here with us for Rattlin' Hump Sports Live. And to break down the ball game the day after, having had a chance to let it breathe a little bit, with us right now covering the Cowboys for RattlinHumSports.com is Matthew Postens. Matthew, you were at Arlington at the Death Star yesterday. Tell me a little bit about that. What was that like?
Well, it was a great atmosphere. I've actually been to two home playoff games for the Cowboys on a ticket, and that's what I did on Sunday. The first one I went to was the divisional playoff with the Packers. I think it was the year between the second and third Super Bowl victories in the 90s, and the atmosphere was comparable just in terms of the fans being into the game. You know, there have been a lot of complaints about the Cowboys not having a home field advantage for various reasons over the past several years, but no such complaints yesterday. The crowd was in the game every time the Lions had the football. Everyone was on their feet. They were showing the decibel level of the noise in the stadium. It got over 100 on several occasions, which for the Cowboys, that's a big deal. For Seattle, that's first down. But the fans really showed up in support of the team. It was a great atmosphere. And the Cowboys rewarded them with a win, although it looked like at times like they were just never going to get off the ground.
Well, much of the day after reaction to the Cowboys centered around, first of all, the critical pass interference call that was then picked up in the third quarter, actually with about 8 minutes to go in the ball game on Hitchens. And so much was made out of that call. I guess, first of all, let's talk about that and get it out of the way. Just about how big of a play was that? Did that call actually cost the Detroit Lions a playoff win at AT&T Stadium?
Well, I don't know if it did, to be honest with you. You know, you think about where you were in that particular point in the game. The Lions were still winning the game at that time. They were up 3. They were in Cowboys territory. The penalty, let's just say they called defensive holding, which I think everybody agrees was the call they probably should have made in that situation. Then the Lions would have gotten the ball first and 10, I think, on the 32. Couple of decent gains would have put it in field goal range. So the Lions, best case scenario, in that case, if you're the Cowboys, you hold them to a field goal, you're down by 6, you still have an opportunity to win the game. I don't necessarily think that play lost the game for the Lions because, a lot of time left in the game. They had an opportunity to come back and win the game. And, they were moving the football fairly decent until DeMarcus Lawrence forced that sack on fourth down. I think what that play did was it created momentum for the Cowboys when they really needed it. They really needed a break. And for most of the first three quarters of that game, they really didn't get a whole lot of breaks. Most of the penalties that came up in the first half and third quarter of that game, they just seemed to go against the Cowboys. And they committed that, but it just seemed to be one of those days where for the first three quarters, the Cowboys were sluggish. They weren't quite sharp. Some of the breaks they needed weren't going their way. But then in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, they just seemed to get every break they needed to help win that game. Let's be clear. There should have been a penalty there on Anthony Hitchens. I mean, that's clear. I mean, somebody broke that play down. There were four different penalties in that call. Anthony Hitchens should have gotten flagged. But I don't necessarily think that lost the game to the Detroit Lions.
Well, in my opinion, and I would say this, whether it was against the Cowboys or for the Cowboys, if the ball game comes down to one bad call, you didn't do enough to win the game to begin with. That's my opinion. It always has been. Yes, absolutely. Can a game turn on a play like that? It can, and it did. But I can tell you this, that penalty that ended up being picked up didn't cause the Detroit punter to shank a punt for 10 yards on the very next play.
No, it didn't. It was the match that lit the fuse, definitely. They tried to get the Cowboys to go offsides on fourth and one. They couldn't get in to do it. They shanked the punt. Cowboys get good field position. And the Cowboys did their job on that game-winning drive. Tony Romo throws a big completion on fourth down to Jason Witten. They get another completion on third down. They catch a break on the third down pass to Lance Dunbar where he was sitting on the ground basically catching the football. There just happened to be a defensive holding call. That's why he was on the ground. So the Cowboys get a fresh set of downs. And then Romo makes something happen again, dancing around the pocket, throwing in the middle of the field. And Terrence Williams, who had a great game yesterday, right there in the middle of the end zone, stayed with his quarterback and made something happen at the end of the ball game. It wasn't the penultimate play of the game or the ultimate play of the game, but it was certainly the match that was the fuse for everything that happened after that for the Cowboys in terms of their ability to get back in the game and take the lead.
And you know, there's also the issue of the fact that the Cowboys were dominated in the first half. They trailed by 14 points at one point, 14-0
yep.
down in the first quarter. I mean, again, they could have laid down and died at 14-0. And certainly there were many people that were expecting that to happen, because of the history of the Cowboys. In the past, they probably would have laid down and died and gotten blown away by a team like Detroit with a quarterback like Matt Stafford going after their defense. But it didn't happen. And this is a different Cowboys team. I'm convinced now. I kept saying all year long, keep doing it. Just keep doing it, because that's the only way you're going to change the narrative, is to continue to change the history of this Cowboys team. And by gosh, they keep doing it every week.
Yeah, this was a... this was another psyche-altering win, I think. It's one thing to have the kind of season they had, and, if they had lost on Sunday, I think a lot of Cowboys fans would have walked away saying, boy, we really didn't expect a whole lot from them this season. They won 12 games, they won the division, and got to the playoffs. I'm pretty happy. Now I think a lot of Cowboys fans are thinking to themselves, okay, this isn't just a team that's just happy to be there and just glad that they were able to win a division title. This is a team that feels like they have a legitimate shot at doing something meaningful in the postseason, maybe making a deep playoff run. That's obviously going to be very difficult because the road probably goes through Green Bay and goes through Seattle. But they're legit now. If you didn't believe it before, you certainly believe it after Sunday.
And we have to talk about some of the dumb plays that the Cowboys made that they had to overcome, like running into the punter. Back at the point that it gave the Lions new life and helped them to drive 99 yards for a touchdown in the first quarter. Those kinds of plays, the Cowboys, again, you can point to that penalty flag all you want to, but, they did some things to themselves that they overcame to win this ball game. They blew that blown coverage to give Golden Tate a touchdown, 51 yards. Romo, the pass protection was not good yesterday for him. I mean, he took a beating yesterday. And then you had DeMarcus Lawrence at the end, trying to pick up a ball that he should have just fallen on. And you thought at that point that could be a killer mistake. And then he redeemed himself. So it was amazing to see the number of things the Cowboys tried to do to, kill themselves, and yet they overcame all those things. So people can make whatever they want to out of the flag, but the bottom line is the Cowboys did a lot of things that could have cost them the game, but they battled through that stuff.
Yeah, and if you're going to win championships, if you're going to make deep playoff runs every year, those are the kinds of things you have to overcome, because you're not going to play – not every game you play in the postseason is going to be a picture-perfect performance. You've got to be able to overcome those kinds of things to win games like they won on Sunday. And, you know, give the Cowboys credit. They've been doing that all season. Everything was just magnified on Sunday because of the stage and especially because of the penalty late in the game, or the non-penalty, I should say.
All right, so your thoughts. What were the Lions doing in the first half that just completely had the Cowboys back on their heels?
Well, I think the first thing they did was run the ball. And the first drive with the touchdown, they had the blown coverage, Golden Tate slipped by them and got the touchdown. But that next drive, that 99-yard drive, the Lions did to the Cowboys what the Cowboys have been doing to opponents all year. They ran the football down their throat. Now, granted, you know, Stafford threw a few nice passes, but they gained 65 rushing yards on that second drive that led to the touchdown run by Reggie Bush, that sweep to the left side. I mean, it was a thing of beauty, and it was something the Cowboys have been doing to teams all year. After that, and I don't know if Rob Marinelli made any serious adjustments or not, but after that, the Cowboys' run defense really came to play the rest of the game. I mean, they gave up the 14 points. They gave up all that yardage. But the Lions ended up with 90 yards as a team running the football and only had 25 yards after that second drive of the game. So that was the first big thing that they had to combat. They had to quiet down the running game, which they did, which made the Lions much more one-dimensional, which, you know, meant something when they were able to start rushing Matthew Stafford better in the second half. I felt like the second thing that the Lions did on defense was they just did a really good job of containing DeMarco Murray. Murray had a nice day, and I don't think anybody thought that DeMarco Murray was going to have like 150 yards rushing. But they did a good job of making his impact minimal in that contest, and I think it took the Cowboys some time to deal with it. I think Tony got a little pressed. I think he took some sacks he shouldn't have taken because he was trying to dance around and trying to do too much. But ultimately, the fact that the Cowboys didn't panic, stuck with the game plan that's worked very well for them this season, I think it got to the fourth quarter, and all of these games that the Cowboys have won close this season, where they've had to rally, where they've had to make big drives down the stretch, I think all of that served them well. They just kind of hung in there and were patient and able to put that score together to win the game. But I think the Lions came in thinking we're going to run the ball more than we usually do because the Cowboys are a little vulnerable there. We're going to blitz Tony Romo because we saw it work so effectively against Washington and Philadelphia. And we're going to try to limit DeMarco Murray's effectiveness. And they were able to do all three of those things in spots, but in the fourth quarter when it really mattered, they weren't able to do any of those things. And the Cowboys were able to rise above all those deficiencies they'd had the first three quarters to win the game.
The other thing you mentioned, the Romo holding the ball, and I agree, he held the ball sometimes, and you thought, boy, you know, get rid of it. But at the same time, in the past, under duress like this, Romo may have thrown that ball up for grabs, and we could have seen killer interceptions. He did not turn the ball over yesterday. So, you know, was it a case of holding the ball too long, or just a smarter, more veteran Tony Romo who said, I'm going to take the sack and live to play another day?
It could be a little of both. But I think there were a couple of situations, especially the two sacks he took that really hampered Dan Bailey's ability to make that field goal early in the third quarter where they had the turnover. It was the interception. Kyle Wilbur picked it up. They had the ball inside the 20, and they had a short run by Murray. Then they had two straight pass plays where Romo was sacked. I just felt like, you know, all season we've seen Tony get rid of the ball quickly for the most part. He's done a really good job of dropping back, making his read, and getting rid of the football quickly. That was at a point in the game where they were down 10 points, where they weren't running the ball particularly effectively. And I just wonder if maybe he just got into that mode that maybe he was in a couple years ago where he felt like he had to press, He had to make something happen because they're sitting on the 15-yard line, opportunity to score points. And I wonder if maybe that just kind of ran through his head a little bit. He didn't really say that Sunday, but I wonder if that kind of ran through his head a little bit. Some of that may have been just him, you know, knowing he needed to tuck the ball and not, you know, throw it up for grabs, and you got to give him credit for that. But, you know, I felt like, especially the third down, he was just dancing around way too much, trying to move around, trying to find a place to pass, where it really just would have made a lot more sense when you're trying to get points on the board in that situation to just throw it in the back of the end zone and let Dan Bailey kick a fairly easy field goal. Instead, they lost an extra 10 yards, and Bailey ended up pushing that one to the right. And at that point in the game, I think a lot of Cowboys fans really kind of thought it wasn't going to be their day.
Yeah, the one thing I did notice in the first half when he was getting really beat up, the ball wasn't coming out well. He did not look like a healthy quarterback early. Did you find that to be the case? I mean, the throws were off and low. And
yeah, I thought he was sluggish, and I'm not really sure why. He didn't speak to anything physically wrong with him. I honestly think the Lions were a big part of the reason why he had such a sluggish first half, because they really made a point of sending extra guys to come get him in the pocket. They didn't blitz him with the proclivity that the Redskins did in that Monday night game, but they definitely looked at that tape because they came with blitzes several times, and they were very effective in getting Tony to either get rid of the ball early or take the sack. For whatever reason, the Redskins came out of that look midway through the third quarter, and they just stopped blitzing. And I guess they just thought they could sit on the lead, keep the Cowboys out of the end zone, or limit them to field goals and maybe win the game. But I think that the Lions, in some degree, were part of the reason why Romo started feeling comfortable midway through the third quarter. They just stopped blitzing him. They stopped putting as much pressure on him with extra linebackers and safeties as they were in the first half. And, you know, we've talked about the back injury, and we've talked about the fact that there are going to be some days where Tony Romo is just going to start a game and the back's just not going to be there in terms of it's going to be tight. He's not going to be 100% loose. And this might have been one of those days. It was a very cold day in Dallas. It was 34 degrees at game time, even though the roof was closed. And I just wonder if maybe he had trouble getting his back loosed up for the first half of that game just because of the cold and everything going on. But, you know, he got midway through the third quarter, you know, into the fourth quarter, and he started looking more like the quarterback we've seen the last month of this season.
And your thoughts about the Cowboys' defense in the first half and their inability to stop the Lions' offense, because it looked for a while there like Matthew Stafford was going to have the same kind of a day that he had when they blew out the Cowboys last year. What were you thinking at that point?
Well, after the 14-0 lead, I'm sure a lot of folks were thinking that, oh, God, here we go again. But you got to give the Cowboys' defense some credit. They gave up 14 points to start the game on those first two drives. After that, they gave up 6 points. They did a really good job of giving up yardage, and they gave up 372 yards in this game to the Cowboys, I think 319 yards. But they limited them to two Matt Prater field goals the rest of the way. And I really feel like part of that was because of their ability to stop the run after that second scoring drive. They made a much more concerted effort, I think, to keep backs in between the tackles, because I think if you're going to talk about a strength, the Cowboys have enough beef in the middle to be able to stop the run at least, you know, fairly consistently. I thought the Lions' play calling after that second drive became very unimaginative when it came to running the football. They didn't run a lot of toss sweeps. They didn't try to get Reggie Bush out into traffic or anything like that out on the edge. They basically ran off-tackle plays, and that made things a little bit easier for the Cowboys. And as the game went on, I really felt like that made the Lions much more one-dimensional, much like we've seen the Cowboys the last couple of years. They gave the football to Matthew Stafford after a 14-0 lead and said, win the game for us. And as the game went on, that became a big mistake for them because they made three turnovers. Stafford was responsible for all three of them. They didn't give him enough support in continuing to run the football because Joyke Bell really ran over them that second drive, but they really didn't give him an opportunity to continue to run the football. So I think the Cowboys slowing down the run game after that second drive, the fact that the Lions really went away from the run game, that allowed the Cowboys to play more four-man rush sets It allowed them to play more nickel and dime defense and made it harder for Matthew Stafford to find targets as the game went on. And then finally, once you get into the fourth quarter, everybody's a little tired. Everybody's a little worn down. You got guys that have been playing pass protection 35, 40 plays in the game. Suddenly, guys like Jeremy Mincy and DeMarcus Lawrence have opportunities to get to the quarterback and start creating some pressure and start creating some issues, and that's exactly what they were able to do.
One of the biggest plays of the ball game, I thought, was when the Cowboys were down 14-0 and find Terrence Williams on that long pass play for, 73 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was something that it looked like they'd just taken the paddles and jump-started somebody who was a flatlining. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they needed that. I mean, at that particular point in the game, it would not be out of the realm to say the Cowboys had done nothing offensively. They really hadn't at that point. And it was just a little slant route. It was a little route probably designed to get 5-6 yards. Williams broke a tackle, got upfield, and all of a sudden he had a lane to run, and there wasn't anybody in that secondary that could catch up to him.
On third down and you know, that's the thing that's amazing about it is that, you know, everybody in the building knew they had to throw the football. It's third and 12, and the Lions, you know, broke down.
Yeah, now they probably had a nickel or a dime set, and they just had everybody in the wrong place on that play. I wonder if maybe Romo knew that beforehand because he threw that thing almost immediately to Terrence Williams. I wonder if he knew he had a mismatch there. But, you know, Williams has had – we talked about the – pedestrian October and November that Williams has had this season. He's really come on the last couple of games, 3 touchdown catches in the last 2 games. But that touchdown catch really jolted everyone. It energized the building, frankly, because at that point, Cowboys fans were, you know, feeling a little bit down on everything that had transpired in the first half. Even though the defense was playing better, they were still down 14 points. And you're absolutely right. It was like a doctor jolting a patient with those paddles and saying, okay, here we go. Here's a jolt. Here's a burst of energy. And even though they gave up a field goal to end the half, the Cowboys went into the locker room feeling a lot better about themselves than they probably would have otherwise.
And yet, Detroit takes another field goal in the third quarter. They're up 20-7. Dallas really hasn't shown a whole lot of life other than that one long touchdown play. And then they get an 80-yard, 10-play drive that covers almost 6 minutes. That's huge. Finally, the Cowboys' offensive line started to assert itself.
Yeah, it did. And I didn't really feel like the Lions' front four got tired. I think it was just a matter of the offensive line, you know, just executing. You know, they had been on their heels for a good part of the first half because the Lions were bringing a blitz more often. I think Scott Linehan made a point of running the football a little bit more on that drive. Now, they were out of balance more than they've been out of balance at any point this season, 31 passes to 22 runs. But I think if you look at the drives, that was probably a drive where they ran the football half the time and threw the football half the time. And I think that really helped just in terms of getting the Lions off balance. It was something they needed to get back to. And that was their – I think that was the possession after – the field goal, which was after the missed field goal by Dan Bailey.
Right.
So I think they kind of felt like they had to reset and get back to what they do best, and that's exactly what they did on that possession. The fourth down call, you know, I felt like they had to go for it in that situation. I didn't think a field goal was going to do them any good. It still would have left them down 10 points. I thought it was a good call by Garrett. And, I looked at that running play, and it was like, you got 3 tight ends out there, you got 1 back. Everybody in the building knows they're going to run the football. And even though it's 1 yard and you should get that if you're the offense, the offensive line did a great job of clearing that left side so Murray could get in and get the touchdown.
Well, I got to tell you, if I was in the building, I wouldn't have been betting on the run, you know, that certainly, because we've seen Romo so many times check out of that and go to a back shoulder fade to Dez on third and one or fourth and one. But the fact that the Cowboys determined that they were going to win the battle up front and slam that ball into the end zone, I thought not only did they have to go for it on fourth down, but the fact that they did it running the football against that massive defensive front
mm-hmm.
was a really it was a real statement, I think, that really was very important not only for the Cowboys psyche, but I also think it sent a message to Detroit that we ain't dead yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything you need to know about that play is that Dez Bryant wasn't on the field. There wasn't a single wide receiver on the field. It was James Hanna, Jason Witten, and Gavin Escobar, and five offensive linemen. That was it. And they were either going to get it in the end zone running the football, or they were going to fail, one or the other. And I have to admit, after the third down play, which was a run play to Murray to that left side, didn't get in. I was a little worried that they weren't going to be able to get that fourth down run in, but they managed to do it. And I think it kind of swung the momentum a little bit toward the Cowboys in that direction, because I think everybody in that building felt a little bit better at that point with the Cowboys being down six and the way they did it, you know, true to their identity as a power running football team.
The Cowboys then again, you know, get the field goal to cut it to 20-17. DeMarco Murray with an 18, I've checked that, with no gain on the play, but I just thought that getting in within three is 20-17, then they get the critical no call, the call that was called back. But we talked about the penalty. We got to talk about fourth and six at the Detroit 42, because that was a second fourth down play where Jason Garrett says, we're going to go win this football game or we're going to lose it doing it our way. We're not going to take the easy way out. We're not going to be conservative. We're going to go win the football game. Fourth and six, take some cojones against that defense.
Yeah, it does. And I got to be honest with you, with about 6 minutes left to go in the game, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Your defense is playing pretty well. You could go ahead and punt it here. Pin them back. Try to force a change of possession again. Get the football back with decent field position with maybe 2-3 minutes left in the game and still win. I wasn't really thinking in my mind, you know, you've got to go for it here. I was thinking more along the lines of it'd be nice if you went for it here and it'd be nice if you got the first down. But to me, it wasn't a have to at that point. And last week when they played Washington, after the onside kick, I said to myself, you know what? I don't think Jason Garrett is going to coach tentatively in this postseason. You know, based on that, he's going to roll the dice. He's going to take some chances. He's going to put the football game in his best players' hands and let them see if they can win the game. And that's what he was doing in that situation. He decided to go for it. He put it in his best players' hands, and Romo was smart enough to get it to his most reliable receiver in Jason Witten. You know, great fourth down catch, a great fourth down call, too. It was just a little curl route by Witten. And, you know, the Lions' defense really doesn't have anybody that can stay with Jason Witten. Not that a lot of defenses have a guy that can stay with a guy like Jason Witten. But he ran a great route. Romo made a great throw. He had great protection. They got everything they needed on that fourth down play. It takes some cojones to roll the dice in that situation when you've still got enough time on the clock and enough timeouts to force a change of possession by your defense and not, you know, risk giving the football to your opponent in midfield.
So, and then finally, the Cowboys take the lead on the pass over the middle to Terrence Williams with Dez Bryant covering him. I think it could have been either one of those guys accessible. Dez was playing good, great coverage. He got burned on the slant, it looks like.
Yeah, he was right there. All he had to do was step in and bat it away, and it would have been a great, great defensive play by Dez. But, you know, it was another one of those plays where Tony had to run around in the pocket quite a bit, had to buy himself a little time. It's just this time somebody was able to get open. You got to give some credit to the Lions secondary at some of those sacks. They did a really good job of bracketing coverage across the field. When I was looking at replays throughout the game, you could see they had two guys on Dez. They had a guy up on Dez, right on him at the line of scrimmage, and they had a safety shaded over to bracket coverage. They were doing a good job of bracketing Jason Witten. That left Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley in a lot of single coverage. And on that play, there were actually two Lions defenders right there by Terrence Williams before he made the change of direction to come back to his quarterback and catch the touchdown pass. So, you know, it was just one of those situations where finally, you know, despite the fact that the Lions had six guys in coverage, the Cowboys finally had a receiver who was able to get open while Tony Romo was buying time and able to catch the touchdown pass.
And can I point out that, you know, again, Romo could have been faulted for holding the ball too long, but in this particular instance, it worked.
It worked because he wasn't sacked.
Yeah. I mean, but that's my point, though. I mean, he was holding the ball, and he made a play rather than holding the ball and making the mistake that would be a killer to lose the ball game. It's a different Tony Romo.
And also a different time of the football game. I mean, you're sitting there on your opponent's doorstep. A field goal would only tie the game for you. Those are the kinds of situations where I think it's kind of okay for a quarterback to try and force something. Fortunately, he didn't have to. A guy came open at the last minute. But it's a fine line when you're trying to make a play happen. My issue with the sacks he took in the third quarter was it was still – there was still a lot of time left in the game. You don't want to take a sack and put yourself out of field goal range. At the same time, you don't want to make a mistake and have a turnover in that situation either. So it's a really fine line. And, you know, I think especially toward the end of the game, Tony did a really good job of dancing that fine line.
And then lastly, we have to talk about DeMarcus Lawrence and the play he made that looked like it was going to be a disaster. And then the play he made at the end of the ball game a minute later that saved the day, basically, for the Cowboys by recovering a fumble.
Yeah, he saved the Cowboys, and he saved his own butt, too, because he knew that he screwed up when he lost that fumble. In fact, he said after the game his teammates after that play, I'm going to make up for it. And eight plays after that, he did exactly that. Came off the edge, beat Riley Reiff, the talented tackle for the Lions. In fact, it was Reiff who recovered the fumble that Lawrence lost eight plays earlier. So he beats Reiff on Stafford's backside and comes in and just, you know, jars that football loose before Matthew Stafford even has a chance to cock his wrist back and try to pass the football. Cowboys come up with it. It was a fourth down play. Great play by Lawrence. And you know what? His first career NFL sack. I didn't think that we would be waiting this long for him to get his first career sack, nor did I think it was going to come in a playoff game for the rookie second-round pick. So a great time for him to finally get in that column of the stat sheet, and a great timed sack for the team because they needed a defensive play. I didn't think it was going to be a situation where the Lions failed to make a completion on fourth down or anything like that. I really felt like at that point in the game it was going to have to be the Cowboys making a play defensively to clinch that game, and that's what they ended up doing on fourth down.
And how big was it that the Cowboys were able to do all of this, knowing that Rolando McClain, again, was still dealing with pain in his neck and still dealing with concussion symptoms?
Pretty big. And then you also got to consider that they didn't have Henry Melton either. He's done for the year. I think that was part of the reason why they had trouble stopping the run the first couple of drives of the game. I think it took them time to adjust to that. So you're without one of your most talented defensive linemen. You're with a linebacker who's not 100%, who's, you know, in addition to the knee and the concussion, you know, probably still not quite 100% from the illness that kept him from going to the Washington game. So, you know, McClain was not at his best yesterday, certainly, but I thought Kyle Wilbert had a nice game. He helped him out at that position. Anthony Hitchens had a nice game. Bruce Carter had a solid game, I thought. He nearly picked off a pass late in the game that could have made a difference, too. But the rest of his guys on that linebacking group helped make up for the fact that McClain was not his best on Sunday.
All right, so now the Cowboys advance. They win 24-20. The people can gripe about the officiating all they want to, but the bottom line is Dallas advances. The Lions season is over, and Dallas goes back to Green Bay to take on the Packers for the first time since 1967 when they played in the infamous Ice Bowl. What are your thoughts just quickly about that game? I know we're going to talk about it later, but right now this is the matchup.
Well, I think the first thing you obviously think about is the weather. It was 15 below that day in 1967 when they played the Packers. It doesn't look like it's going to be quite as cold. It looks like it's going to be in the teens when they kick off on Sunday. Doesn't look like there's going to be any inclement weather that day either, although they are expecting snow showers in Green Bay that Saturday evening. So this should be interesting because I think this game plays a little bit more to what the Cowboys want to do in terms of being able to run the ball. they're going to need to run the football more effectively, because I don't think you can ask Tony Romo to throw 35, 40 passes in that kind of weather. You know, first of all, you got to hope his back loosens up to 100%. They really need to have a big game from DeMarco Murray. The Packers, you know, by the same token, they have their own big-time running back in Eddie Lacy, and they're going to want to try to run the football as well. So it could be, at least initially, a good old-fashioned smash-mouth football game, because both teams can run the ball pretty effectively. I think the question is going to be, you know, who stops the run better? You know, the Cowboys, who have been kind of a middling run defense all year, and the Packers, who, by the same token, have not been a great run defense either. So it's going to be decided in the trenches early, and then I think late you're going to see the quarterbacks emerge, and the one that makes the most plays late in the game and avoids the mistakes that both of these quarterbacks seem to do a good job of avoiding this season, that's probably going to end up deciding it. But it's going to be a fun week of looking back at that 67 game, although it really doesn't mean anything to what happens on Sunday. But two legendary franchises in the NFL going at it on probably the most legendary field in the NFL, it should be a really interesting game.
Well, and you know, as I told you a few weeks ago, my biggest fear was that the Cowboys would draw the two best gunslinger quarterbacks in the playoffs in Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. And so they took care of Stafford yesterday. They're facing another guy who could just really destroy their secondary, let him get on a rhythm. So the challenge is there. The question is, can Romo match Rodgers next weekend?
That's a big question. And, you know, I think he can. I think the question is, does it serve the Cowboys best if he does? Because we've seen these games. Think about the Broncos game last year where Romo out-Peytoned Peyton Manning, throwing for over 500 yards, but they still lost the game. This is a much different football team than they were a year ago, and I don't know that it serves the Cowboys well if Tony Romo throws the football 40 times a game. I don't think he wants to throw the football 40 times a game. I think they want to give it to Murray 25, 30 times. I think they want to dominate the line of scrimmage, use the play-action game effectively, and pick their opportunities throwing the football down the field. That's the kind of game the Cowboys want. Whether or not they get it, I think, will depend a lot upon how much the Packers decide to focus on stopping DeMarco Murray, especially early in that football game.
And by the way, I got a very unsolicited Twitter from some guy named ChuckB3099 who said, "Boys got a huge break, and Packers will rip them a new ass. Thanks for asking."
You know, Lambeau Field is a difficult place to play in. It's a veritable graveyard of great football teams that have gone up there and lost in the playoffs. And it really is a very interesting battle because you have the best road team in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys, who did not lose a game on the road this year. And you have the best home team in the NFL and the Green Bay Packers, who did not lose a home game this year. So, as they say, something must give on Sunday.
Well, regardless of the outcome of this ball game coming up on Sunday, this Cowboys season now has to be, I think, termed a tremendous success when you think about a team that I had them at 5 wins before the season started. They're at 13 now going into Green Bay. I don't think anybody expects Dallas to win in Green Bay, but just the fact that they've got the opportunity is so refreshing and surprising that I think Cowboy fans have to be just grateful that it's happening.
Yeah, I think they are. I don't think there's any question about that. I think they're saving the talk about what this means to the franchise's future over the next couple of years for, you know, after the playoff run ends. I think they're hoping for some sort of, I wouldn't call it a miracle, because I think the Cowboys are good enough to beat a team like the Packers. But the Cowboys are obviously going to have to play one of their best games of the year. They can't have any turnovers. They can't have any major gaps. Their defense is going to have to play another huge game, in my opinion, because the Packers are such a great offensive team. And, you know, the Cowboys, to some degree, have history on their side in that the other teams that have gone undefeated on the road since the 16-game schedule was instituted, and there are 5 of them, each of them reached at least their conference championship game. So if history is a guide, the Cowboys have a decent chance.
Well, we shall see. What's coming up on rattlinghumsports.com?
Well, our first and 10 post-game piece from the Lions game is up, and we'll be getting ready to preview the Packers game very soon. You and I will get together later this week to talk about that game. And then, of course, Sunday afternoon in Lambeau Field, we'll see if the Cowboys can keep this dream season moving forward another week.
Well, it's just fun to be talking about the Cowboys going into the second week of the NFL playoffs. Matthew, thank you as always. We enjoyed it.
Hey, no problem.
Matthew Postum's covering the Dallas Cowboys for RattlinHumpSports.com. Thanks very much for listening to this Rattlin' Hump Sports Live podcast. We'll be checking in with you later this week to preview the Cowboys against the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Divisional Playoffs. And we'll let you know when that happens. We'll send it out on social media. You can listen to this and other podcasts on RattlinHumpSports.com and Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brian Houston. Thanks very much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.